Good morning. Today is Friday, March 20th, Friday of the third week of Lent, and I am probably one of the only people that feels this way right now, but I can't believe that it is already Friday. This week has gone flying by, and I've essentially been in quarantine. I guess we all have kind of essentially been in quarantine all week, and yet it's just gone flying by, it seems like. You know, when I get into my office every morning, the first two tabs I open on my browser are my email and my Google Calendar. And my calendar is completely blank. There's just nothing left. I've actually left some of my appointments on there just so I know the things that I should have done. Like, I should have had Mass at 8:15 this morning for the school kids. And I should have been doing stations tonight at St. Joe's. And those are things that aren't going to happen. But they're just reminders for me, like, you know, can at least pray for those school kids, or you can pray for the people and that part of the grouping that maybe would have come to stations tonight, because you're not going to get to see them. Nevertheless, it feels like this week has just gone flying by, and I don't know, maybe that's me, and I'm sure that'll change as this thing continues, but anyway. So just wanted to talk about the readings this morning. Particularly, I want to talk about the gospel, because today's gospel comes from Mark, which is kind of an underrated gospel. For a really long time, scripture scholars didn't like to talk too much about Mark's gospel. It was considered too simplistic. It's not considered to be as rich, perhaps, as Matthew or Luke. John is a whole other matter. John's kind of separate from the synoptics. But Matthew and Luke were seen to be the ones that were perhaps more important. It was thought that Mark doesn't add a whole lot. And happily, more recent scripture study has uncovered some really great depth to Mark and the inner beauty that the text has. I like Mark because it is kind of short and very much to the point. Mark doesn't have a whole lot of time to mess around with things. And he has an agenda. They all have an agenda. Mark's is pretty evident. And I think when you start to understand what those things are, you can see some of the beauty in today's text. And maybe if this thing drags out, I'll start doing like a series on the scriptures, I don't know, and explaining more of those sorts of things. But for today, let's just deal with this section of Mark. The gospel's not long, so I'm just going to read it to you. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is one, and there is no other than He,' and 'To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. So, a couple of things happening here. One is that you have a dialogue between Jesus and a scribe. And oftentimes, the Gospels portray those dialogues as a conflict, as a means for a fight. The scribe is trying to trap Jesus, or it's set up to be some kind of antagonistic sort of dialogue. And this doesn't appear to be that. The scribe seems to have a legitimate question, and Jesus respects him and answers the question very directly. So there's already a big difference in what's happening there. And the question is, you know, which is the first of all the commandments? Well, it could seem that, you know, that's certainly a trap, because if Jesus doesn't answer the right way, then the scribes are going to have something to use against him. But I think that this was just a genuine sort of question. I mean, the scribes are people that are really seeking to know and understand the law, and there's an awful lot to Jewish law. And so I think this is just a simple case of someone really wants clarification. And Jesus knows the law inherently well. He is the law. And so he's able to answer this in a wonderful way. And he answers it, like I said, very directly. But he kind of breaks it open a little bit so that the scribe can see how these two things, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is so closely related to loving your neighbor. And the way he says it makes it so that the scribe can really and truly understand it. I think one of the reasons why the scribe is able to answer with understanding is that he himself has been praying about the same question. And I think that's something worth considering too. Like when we go to Jesus looking for something, when we go to Jesus with a request, I don't think it's not like going to the deli counter where you just walk up, take a number, and then when you get called, you say, hey, can I get this? It's something that you need to put some work into it before you start making that request and be praying about a thing long before you really start crying out in terms of petition. So the scribe's able to answer with understanding, and no one dares to ask him any more questions. And I think it's not because like they're ashamed that they might ask a dumb question. I think no one asks him any more questions because at this point they realize maybe we don't want to try to trap this guy. Maybe he actually knows what he's talking about. But that aside, let's look at the answer that Jesus gives him and kind of, I don't know, see how that works in our life today. See, here's the thing when it comes to our spiritual life. I think we make this way more complicated than we have to. Like, we really do. The Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's it. That's all we have to be about. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. And we love to complicate things. And we don't just do it with our spiritual life. We do it in all walks of life. I was watching a YouTube video last night on the financial markets because I still think that I understand the financial markets. I never did, but they fascinate me. And maybe if I didn't do this, I would have found a happy home working in that kind of stuff because it is interesting to me. But still, the guys on this video were just talking about trading and the equity markets with the current level of volatility. And what one of them said just flat out was, if you're still trading, stop it. Like, everyone's trying to find, you want to find the bottom, or you want to buy the dip, or you want to do all these crazy things in this market because you want to be able to make money off of it. And their thing is, just stop it. This market is too volatile, and you're in a situation that's unprecedented in history. Stop trying to figure this out. Don't complicate your life right now. Move your portfolio towards liquidity and come back to the market when the market is normal, if our markets are ever normal. But, you know, just stop trying to figure this out. With the current, just, you know, pandemic and some of the health things that they're telling us to do, everybody thinks that they're going to try to figure it out. Well, I can do this, but I can't do that. Well, I should be allowed to do this. And as long as I take this precaution, I'll be okay. Stop it. Don't overcomplicate things. Don't go anywhere unless you absolutely have to, and wash your hands a whole lot. Don't think that you know more than the CDC or the WHO or, you know, all these other organizations. Don't complicate things. Just do what you're told. And when it comes to our spiritual life, let's not complicate things. It doesn't matter how many rosaries you say, although say a whole bunch. It doesn't matter how many acts of charity you do, although you should do a whole bunch. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. And if we can do those two things, all the other stuff will fall into place. We don't need to complicate this any more than we already do. Now, think about those two commandments. They're not at all easy, and there's an awful lot to unpack to them. But in and of themselves, they are not complicated things. Now you start talking about, like, okay, I shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Do I really? Do I really give him all of those things? If I'm not giving them entirely to God, who or what am I giving them to? Why would I rather give those things to that person or that thing than I would to God? What is it that's making it hard for me to trust God enough to give those things over? What do I really value? what is of most importance to me? I mean, these questions are profound and they're deep, but you have to figure out what the answer to those things is before you're able to really move forward with loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Before we even get into the question of who my neighbor is, do you love yourself? And if not, why not? And what is it about you that maybe sometimes makes it hard for you to love? How can you fix that? How can you forgive yourself? How can you make yourself better? Am I not loving myself because I think that I'm not worthy of it? Do I know how to love myself? Do I love my neighbors more than I love myself? Why do I seem to think that I always have to come in second place? And then you can start thinking about who is my neighbor and how do I have to love them? And so there's a lot of profound questions there, and there's an awful lot to take to prayer, but at the very beginning, we just have to remember that there are two things that matter. The Lord our God is Lord alone, and therefore we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And we shall love our neighbor as ourself. That's it. That's the entirety of the spiritual life right there. Everything else is just bonus. Don't complicate things. We're almost halfway through Lent at this point. In fact, I think this Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Lent. I think we are like pretty much right at the halfway point. And this Lent has been a Lent like no other, as we all well know. So let's not complicate this any more than we have to. Let's just focus on doing these couple of things. On loving the Lord our God completely and entirely. And loving our neighbor as ourself. And maybe spend some time kind of praying and meditating on those things today. And asking God for his help in figuring your own heart out. And figuring out who you love and what you love and the priority in which you love. And then ask for his grace in maybe changing those priorities. And putting things in the place in the order they need to be. So that you can truly become who he made you to be. And that you can start doing the work of building up his kingdom here on earth until the day comes that you're happy with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. That's all for this morning. Not quite sure what I'm going to get to later today. I think I'm going to try to make a video of the Stations of the Cross just because I like praying them, and I'm sure everybody else does too. So we'll see if I can get that done. I have an issue with the new video editor that Windows had. They used to have this old version that was so much easier. It was easier to use, and I felt it had more functionality. And I think I might have it on my old laptop still. So if I do, I'm going to do that. And if I've gone on that rant already, I apologize. And then if I do another reflection tonight, I honestly don't know what to talk about. So I don't know. I'll try to come up with something. And then there's some stuff I have to do around the house today that I haven't been doing. I've got some brides that are starting to freak out because, you know, if this thing drags on, what's going to happen to their weddings? And we don't really have answers for them yet, but I need to try to calm some people down. So got some work to do today. But I will be in contact with you all later. Say some prayers. God bless you. Wash your hands. I'll talk to you soon.